Hey, what up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. Warriors lose to the Clippers. Just kind of another run-of-the-mill game where, the boys came out strong, came out fast, jumped out to a 17-point lead. Seems that they've been doing this and, getting up for some games lately and getting off to a good start. And then inevitably at some point in that third quarter or second half, the game just kind of gets away from them. They can't score points. All of a sudden their lack of size and rim protection hurts them on the other end. The 3-point shot stops falling and everybody, this group of role players, glorified role players that the Warriors have, and they're all good role players, but there's a reason that they're role players and that it's hard to bank on any of them being able to carry this team for four full quarters. You're going to get a few spurts. Your Pajemski's going to have a great first half, and then he's going to have a horrendous second half. 20 points in the first half, 2 points in the second. And, not no fault of his own, but it's just like that's what role players do in terms of consistent scoring, right? You might get consistent effort, hard defense, fighting for loose balls, but when it comes down to being a one or a 1B or even a number two scorer in this league, someone scoring 20 points per game on a consistent basis, there's a reason those are all stars and stars, and you need those type of players, and usually you need at least two, sometimes three of those type of players on one team to be competitive. And really, the Warriors just obviously don't have that right now. You're missing arguably your three best scorers in Steph, Jimmy, and call it Porzingis at this point. You could have called it Kuminga if he'd still been here. But Warriors go minus 27 in the second half. Again, after jumping out to a 17-point lead at one point. 5-12 now with no Jimmy and no Steph both out. And I mean, if I had one word just to describe where we're at, it's just apathy. It's hard to care right now. And I hate to say that because I care so much about the Warriors. But, I used to, on game days, look forward all morning, all day. What time the Warriors play? It's going to be a good day. I have something to look forward to in the evening to watch. And no matter what happens in my work day or in my life, it's like, okay, I can just look forward to turning on the Warriors, watching every minute of the game, and hopefully get something fun to watch. It's hard to get up. I mean, it's always been hard to get up for games when Steph's not playing. But then you throw in the fact that, this team is destined for the play-in. Hopefully destined for the play-in. There's no real hope to improve draft picks. You're going to be somewhere in the teens at best, and there's no real hype to, start looking at college prospects. You're just getting excited about that. Your only new player that you're not really sick of yet is Porzingis, and well, you're not sick of him, but he's sick in his own right, and I won't even get into it, but it's misses fifth straight game due to illness after the Warriors had seemed sure that they felt good about where he was at. But Steve Kerr said it's actually not, he actually doesn't have POTS. Sounds like this illness was kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say unrelated, but he just got sick, general illness, and his immune system's just not good. So I don't know what it is that he has or what he's dealing with right now, but he's not playing, and who knows when he's going to play at all. And we're just basically getting, after one 20 minute stint in one game where he showed some promise, the one thing you have to look forward to, that's not there and might not be there, to see him playing with Steph maybe even at all. On that note, we also still haven't seen Steph play with his brother Seth Curry, which is crazy to think, with like 20 something games left, they still haven't played together at all. Not that I care that much, but that would be fun to watch. And then more importantly, there's just no player development, young player development to be excited for or to really watch. I mean, I'm fine. I mean, it sucks that Kuminga's gone off to Atlanta and seems to be as happy as can be, and they're loving him there, and they're chanting, "Thank you, Warriors." I know it's been three games and he's done well, but we've made peace with it. I agree we had to trade him. You can disagree with all that led up to that, but at this point, we had to trade him. It wasn't working out, but he at least could say, he could get me excited for the game. When Kuminga was playing, if no one else was playing like last night, if Kuminga was playing, I would have watched him pretty much every second he was on the floor and gotten excited about something that he did because he had some upside. And that's what I'm getting at is there's just zero upside on this team. Even the young developmental players, Pajemski, Moody, Gi Santos, there's incremental improvement on any given day. Gi Santos has had a little bit more drastic improvement and just got a contract extension. Good for Gi. But the upside of all these players, they're all, again, glorified role players. No one's ever going to be more than, at best, a number three scorer on their team at best. You see glimpses of it from pods. I mean, a half here, a playoff game there. You had hopes. What was it? Game three of the Houston series. Pods carried us. I might be off on the game. Moody's had a hot streak shooting, but then they always come back down to earth. They just disappear at times when you need them. And again, that's why this team is just, it's stuck in limbo. It's a bunch of just solid players, inconsistent, who flash for bits, but again, no one's that's going to turn into a perennial all-star or anything like that. And yeah, that's just the truth of it. And you're kind of, again, you're just stuck in this holding pattern until next season. You're at best hoping to stay in the top seven or eight, get a home game in a playoff, in a play-in, get into the playoffs where you have a chance to knock off. Maybe you get paired against the Spurs or the Nuggets or something like that, and you have a chance to knock them off and hope that Steph comes back and prove at least that this team has what it takes to contend with anybody in any given series. And if you get that hope back, that's the best this team is that's the best you can do for this team heading forward to next year. You have a little momentum, you have some belief, you have some hope, you have some confidence that Steph Curry can still lead this team to a title at that point with just a few more adjustments and a little bit more luck with health and a little more incremental development. But again, at this point, hard to get up for games, hard to be excited. We're still going to watch because we're all good Warriors fans, but it's no longer eyes glued to the TV viewing like it once was before, or like it always is when Steph Curry's in. On that note, again, Moody, shoulder and wrist injury in this. He might miss a little bit of time. Definitely, once he got hit, after the initial shoulder injury, immediately grabbed at that shoulder against once his arm got yanked. Didn't like the look of that. He might be have a little bit of a little shoulder separation or kind of a strain there. And then obviously, any wrist injury is going to mess up his shot, which it looked like his shot was pretty messed up. Hope this isn't something like last year where, he had that hand injury and just ruined his shot the rest of the season. But ultimately, again, it doesn't really matter that much this year, but I do hope he's okay and can get it going again to continue that ascent. The silver lining being this season that guys like Moody Pods are going to get as many minutes as they can handle. And we just hope that, in the next 20 or so games, they can take, that step just to one more level up and get some momentum into next year. Nate Williams. Well, there you go. There's our upside developmental guy. I think he's been all right. He's a little, somewhat of a little journeyman. I think he's like 28 years old, had like three or four stints up in the NBA on just very minimal minutes, but he's looked pretty good in his two games. He's played with the Warriors, played some decent minutes against the Lakers, 18 points last night, had a nice rip of Kawhi, and then, got the ball and got fouled, ended up, I think he got to the line like six times, hit a couple threes, had a nice offensive rebound that he kind of scrambled for, and then a little up fake and a putback. Has pretty good size. I know he's 6'5", but he seems kind of long, seems to play a little bit bigger than he is. Not anything like a point guard where he's handling the ball, but looks good, has shot well, especially lately. I think in the G League, he's like a 34, 35% 3-point shooter. So it's not like we're talking about the second coming of like Anthony Morrow or anything like that here. But gives you another wing option, and at 6'5", again, plays a little bit bigger. And yeah, he did a pretty good job on Kawhi Leonard. Not scared, played strong. And again, if you can guard up and play a big guy like Kawhi Leonard, then yeah, sure. Well, there's maybe minutes for you going forward, and let's see kind of if you can find a good rhythm. Also interesting, I read he's not saying it was his fourth game in 4 nights. So playing obviously between on a two-way contract. So got up and played with plenty of energy, ride that adrenaline and enjoy your time up in the show, kid. Only other thing I'll talk about, which I mean was a silver lining for a little bit, Draymond Green defensively, right? I think any path for this team this year, especially, but obviously going forward, is this team needs to be a top 10 defense. It all starts with Draymond Green. And yeah, no, he's not always gonna get up for every regular season game, but it is great to see that in the games he knows he's matched up against fellow stars, Wembanyama, Kawhi Leonard, guys like that. You know, he can still bring it. You know, he's still one of the best one-on-one defenders in the league. He's still one of the best off-ball help defenders in the league when he wants to be. And, you know, I personally think Draymond's at his best. God, I mean, he is just really good even guarding up and guarding centers, but I think he's at his best when he's kind of more on the perimeter guarding big wings, like a Kawhi Leonard, just in full denial mode all night and really did a good job on Kawhi. And, you know, it's just because he's so strong in the lower half, just understands positioning, does his work before the ball is caught by his opponent. Just great understanding of the game, understands what everyone's trying to do against him and their favorite tendencies, favorite moves. Always been a good film junkie and just understands players in the league. And I compared it a lot to what he did against Jaylen Brown in the finals in 2022, where that whole series flipped once the Warriors decided to put Draymond Green on Jaylen Brown and take away his right hand and force him left. And once that happened, then the Celtics became a much more one-dimensional offense, and the rest was history that year. So Draymond Green still has it in him. Obviously, he's probably lost a little bit of a step or so, but gives me confidence that in a high leverage, high stakes playoff series, he's still going to be able to bring it from either game to game or probably the whole series. We all know Draymond's a 16-game player, and you know, last year he was a first team all defensive player, so let's not act like, you know, he's drastically fallen off from last year on the defensive side of the ball. It's still in there. It's still very high winning player on the defensive side of the ball, particularly. It's just been the offense that's been a bit of a struggle this year, but we've addressed that plenty of times. It gives me hope going forward that if you have Horford and or Porzingis next year, that's when you can finally keep Draymond back at that power forward position. Let him guard guys like your Jaylen Browns and Kawhis of the world, occasionally guard up at center if you need to, but allows him to roam and just kind of be what he is on defense when he's at his best. And I mentioned both of those names at center because they give you rim protection, but they also give you stretch shooting at center on the other side, which now is playable with Draymond. It's just been the biggest problem with Draymond is just his inability to truly stretch the floor. And if you put that next to another big like Looney or a non-shooter, it just doesn't work. Especially if you have Jimmy Butler playing the three. You have to have a five who can shoot. But you all know that. All right, I guess that's all we got for today. A couple, I think a 3-game road trip coming up. So let's steal one or two. Steph gonna miss all of that. Hopefully he's back soon enough. Get well, Steph, because I would love to be excited to watch you play once again. And in the same breath, Porzingis, I would love to see that combination to see what we actually have going forward and what this lineup can look like when it's fully healthy and unlocked. All right, guys, I will talk to you next time. I've been Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.